Thank you. And it's Psalm 23, so if you want to turn there. And I'm going to start, it may seem a little bleak, but I promise as we get going, there will be hope in the end. In 2017, I'm a labor and delivery nurse, and I was at work one night and had a patient that I had to turn and felt something in my back shift. Just kind of ignored it for the next 2 years until I couldn't really walk anymore. I had moved to a new hospital doing the same thing. And I went home and had an MRI, and I had so much spinal stenosis, so my nerves are actually getting squeezed to death in my back, that they had to go in and make a hole, the hole bigger, so that the nerves would come out. Everything went great. Came home. 2 days later, I couldn't walk at all. My discs actually started breaking. I won't go into every detail because it's way too long, but I ended up having 9 surgeries filled with MRSA inside of my bloodstream and my spine. I was at home on antibiotics through a PICC line for 6 months. Couldn't work, so I just went back to work. I haven't worked in 2.5 years. And I can't do bedside anymore. So loss number one for me was losing my identity and wanting that. That's what, quote, made me who I was. I was a nurse, and I worked so hard to get there, and why can't I do it anymore? And complaining, but not really complaining, but complaining to the Lord, just not to the people around me. So that's kind of short. A long event. Put tolls on my family and whatnot. The second event that I won't go too into detail on, last year, about this time, I don't even know how to put it. There was an event going on in my life where I was extremely, I don't even want to say offended, because that's not the word. I was done wrong by somebody that I loved and cherished, and it was a hard wound. It was a wound that almost killed me spiritually, or could have almost killed me spiritually, and took my family and kind of shook us up and threw us out like those pixie sticks. You just toss them. Nobody knows where anybody's at or what anybody's doing. So in that, I thought I would be erratic. I thought I would be so angry and so mad that I would leave my entire family. That crossed my mind. But God is good, and instead of having anger, he filled me with peace, and he filled me with compassion for the person that did me wrong, and or persons. And although people around me don't understand it, I don't quite understand it myself. But I ended up encouraging others to be compassionate towards these people, because that's what we're supposed to do. But it didn't seem like, if it was me looking at someone else with the same thing, I'd be like, you're nuts. But I find that when you open up to the Lord and let him do it, things are crazy, and you don't know why, but like I can't explain to anybody why that loss of part of my family and stuff like that was still a loss, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. About a week after that happened, I got a phone call, or Tom got a phone call when I was in the shower, that my dad was found dead in his apartment. And he had called me that morning and left me a message, and I was at the doctor, so I didn't have a chance to call him back yet. And he died, I think, 2 hours after that phone call. And, of course, that actually shook me more than the event that happened the week prior. I had just bonded with my dad again over, probably the last 6-7 years. He got to meet all of his great-grandkids. When we went to see him at his apartment, he looked amazing. Which is weird to say when someone passes, he looked peaceful. He died October 13th. His birthday's Halloween, so it's a good, you know, I can remember it really easily. So that was my third loss. So I guess it was kind of a joke thing. But with that, the Lord gave me Psalm 23, and I apologize in advance if it seems as if I'm not making a lot of eye contact, just because I don't memorize what I type down. If I'm reading off paper, I really am reading off paper. I'm going to break it apart verse by verse, but we're going to read it first. Caitlin, will you read it for me out loud? Because this thing, yeah.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And who knows that when you go to give a word, you're tested like immediately and the enemy just wants to attack you?
Yes.
So within the last month, I kicked a wall, broke the side of my foot, my toe. Literally, but thank goodness it was this side because this side's half numb, so it could have been more painful than it was. Anyway, I was doing good, thought it was healed, started my new job, and my ankles were like this big, and I couldn't walk because I need a boot, and I didn't listen to my kids when they said, go to the doctor and get a boot. Nurses don't usually go to the doctor. But anyway, okay. So it's very evident that only a shepherd would be able to write Psalm 23, and David was up for the task, and there he did it. The first I'm going to read is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So the Lord God is our shepherd, and we all know this, we're his sheep. Therefore, we shouldn't have need for anything else. I mean, we put ourselves in predicaments sometimes, or just life ends up that way. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Psalm 100, verse 3 states, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is so good to us that he's brought us into the fold of the truest shepherd that there is, into his family. I don't know much about shepherds except what I've been told, mostly by Wyatt and Pastor. But I do know that they protect their sheep, and they've even died in the protecting of their sheep. Sometimes they stay up all night keeping the wolves away. John 10:11. Sorry, there's some verses. I did a lot of verses. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus died for us to bring us into his family. As we look at the first verses, we can see a picture of God leading us. That's what he's directing us and taking us on our trip. There's a twofold view, if you will, of these four verses, the first four. It looks at his care in the past, how he cares for us in the present, and our hope for the future. Basically, you can look at it as what was, what is, and what will be. The second part of it, it modes in what he uses to guide us, which is rest, work, and sorrow. God isn't mean, he's not pushy, and he has never-ending patience with us, grace, and love. And with that, it only makes sense that as we're walking through a trial, that he would give us rest and refreshment within that. He allows us to find that rest. And I can tell you from experience that all trials are outweighed by the love of God and by his rest.
Yes. Yes.
Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yeah.
When we walk around with guilt and shame on our shoulders, our minds are in constant chaos. And you can add to that what's on your shoulders. When we give that guilt to the Lord, he heals our souls. Our hearts are hungry for food that will satisfy our souls, and we feed that hunger by eating the Word of God. Our souls are thirsty, and we drink from God's cool, still waters. Now, when we allow God, the great shepherd, to lead us, our souls will be restored, our lives will be more invigorating, and we will then find our spiritual life is more alive than it has ever been before, which I can attest to. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we're not restored, we're chaotic. Our lives are chaotic. And how can we speak into the lives of others if we're not at rest? So when we're restored, we can do the work of God. He'll lead us into working for him. When we rest in his green pastures, we're then refreshed, making us able to do whatever he's calling us to do. And for us women, we're usually pouring into somebody, whether it's our kids, our spouse, our friends, each other. Pick it. Women are always busy. In the word, work follows rest. I mean, God gave us a whole day to rest before we go to work on Monday. Our souls are restored, then the works of righteousness follow. We all know that we're not saved by our work, but we work because we're saved. Pastors talked about that a lot. I read that, and I'm quoting somebody, I just forgot to put down their name, so I'm sorry, if you want to know, I can tell you. We're not justified by works, but for them. In Ephesians 2:10, we read that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He already knew. He already had them set forth. And that's the one thing God's really shown me is in my life is no matter what is happening, and Pastor said in his sermon a couple weeks ago, God's already ordained that day of your death, if that's what you're worried about, because that causes anxiety with the way the world is. God already has that day planned. Yes. You can try to go around it, but we're not that good. God's going to be better and bigger, and, you know, we get a little too cocky sometimes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We never walk alone in any of our journeys. Might feel like it, but we're not. God walks with us during the paths of righteousness and through our troubles and sorrows. Now, he doesn't always keep us from sorrow. I can tell you that from experience, but he has always been with me walking through them. Mm-hmm. I may not have known at that exact moment, but in the last few years, definitely knew he was right there. Mm-hmm. Bring to your remembrance the three young men in the oven. They probably thought, we are really alone in here. But then there was a fourth one, and we know that was Jesus. So even in that, I mean, I pray to the Lord that if that were me, I would have that faith and that trust. But too much of the time we let this worldly garbage encourage our not having enough faith or having too much fear. Paul wasn't alone when he was in front of Nero. 2 Timothy says, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He was with him, with all of us. We have no reason to worry about our futures. The Bible says in John 14:27, not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. During our walk with our shepherd, the devil sits in wait like a shadow of that scary man hiding behind the door, waiting for the right moment to pounce on us. We may find that we are in the darkest and most deepest valley of death, but our good shepherd is there. Amen. And we need not fear when he is with us, because he will comfort us and protect us and shield us with his rod and his staff. God's law and gospel are what we have for not just our protection, but for our correction. I think that what is hard for me is that I don't understand why he's allowing me to go through the valley. Because we always, as women especially, we want to know why. Why is that happening? But I can say with the greatest assurance that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. And even in the midst of it, you might be, this is going to take me down. But I always tell my girls, when you look back on it, you'll see what the Lord did. You'll see his hand and you'll be amazed again.
Yes.
Romans 8:28 was that verse for all things work together. I usually put it first, but I wrote it last, so I got myself confused. When we hold children on our lap, so Cambry, well, she's nursing, but if she were out to coffee or whatever and holding her baby on her lap and a stranger comes up, Keon, she's going to smile, da-da-da-da-da. And Cambry, if they say, oh, your baby's so cute, she'll be like, oh, thank you so much. Keon's not going to be scared to death because some strange figure's coming up, because Keon knows whose lap he's on and that he's safe. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are with the Lord. He's got us like a little kiddo sitting on his lap hugging us. My girls never became afraid, especially her. She taught her all the time, just strangers. And we need to really come to the Lord as children when it comes to trust and faith. And we just need a little mustard seed size. So it's really not that much, but to us it's a boulder. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's important to remember that we're human, and when we sit at the table of the Lord in heaven, we're sitting not at our table, but at his table. He is preparing it for us. He could come get us now. That'd be great. Our good shepherd supplies all of our needs And he does this also in the presence of our enemies. People are watching you, especially yes. those that wound you. And they stand in amazement, even though it might come across differently. It usually comes across in anger because they can't get to you. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible talks about heaving coals on their head. You know, that's why you can't return evil for evil. You just can't do that, right. even though you want to. And I know that for me, doing it in my heart has just as much repercussion as if I were to actually do it. Mm-hmm. We can then fight the conflict when God is with us. Because we've rested and we've drank in the cool waters provided by God. I cannot wait for the day when the Good Shepherd calls us to the Great Supper in heaven. I think we're all ready to do that. Mm-hmm. The idea of never being hungry, worrying about weight, any of that. We'll get our perfect bodies. Ugh.
Amen.
And we'll never have to see evil people again, ever.
Amen.
And the most, the biggest thing for me is we won't have to sit and listen and watch people defile the Lord's name.
Amen. Yep.
Sickness will be gone. No more battles. It's just going to be great. At that point, our armor will be taken off and we'll be covered in robes and get our crowns. And watch out for Pastor Maggie because she said she's going to beat everybody there. Might have to push it in. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 and 17 states, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Praise the Lord. Continually air-conditioned. "For the Lord which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." When there were feasts in the Bible times, the person having the feast would bring in their guest, and he or she, it's usually the he because it's Bible times, would anoint the head of their guest with oil. If you look at Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse 6 and 7, and you don't have to turn there now, but when you go back and look, you'll see that the host of the dinner party forgot to do that, or just didn't do that. He did not anoint Jesus with the oil. So, who came in to do it was a woman came in, and she took that expensive oil, because it's not cheap, and poured it on his head. And think about that just for a second. The very sheep of the Lord's pasture will be anointing us with the oil at the table. "My cup runneth over. Thank you, Lord." That's all I got to say. Now, this is a blessing, and it runs over. All that the Lord has done, all the rest, all the preparing, walking through the valley, he is preparing us so much that our cup is now running over with all of this goodness. So it's going to follow us in our journey. This blessing will follow me, you, every day of our life. It's always there, even when we lose sight of it. While doing this study, I read that shepherds lead their sheep from the front. And behind them, they have two sheepdogs. I don't know what those dogs are called. The sheep herders, there you go. They're there to make sure that the sheep don't stray. If one of them is wounded, then they can, I don't know, bark or something and let the shepherd know, hey, something's going on back here. But we tend to get a little lost. And I always told the kids, and this is not, I don't mean this nastily, it was just a joke I did for my kids because it's what I was taught in youth group. Sinners sit in the back. We have to sit in the back because, you know, we got a party in here, so we don't have room. But I would tell them, no, get up in the front. Second row, preferably on the right. It's true, though. So the further back we are, the less our eyes are focused on the Lord, the more apt you are to stray. The author of the study I read also said that throughout our lives, just like two angels of God, goodness and mercy will follow us. And then we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I'm not saying that those are two angels. He was just likening them to that. So that's for my step. Now I've got some good, uplifting things for you. I mean, this was uplifting too, but with all my boo-hoo-ies. Okay. And these first few things that I'm going to say, I got from a book that I'm reading. It's called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. It's a really good book. I encourage it if you've got hurts. It goes for any hurt. Hurt specifically. Her husband had infidelity, they were married for a super long time and whatever. But they're Christians, but you can apply it to any hurt. It doesn't matter. And her name is Lisa Perkers. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but I want to give her credit. She says the greatest hell a human can experience here on earth is not suffering. It's feeling like the suffering is pointless and it will never get better. We don't serve a do-nothing God. He's always working.
Amen.
God's silence is not proof of his absence. Sometimes that silence means you need to get on your knees. Sometimes it's you need to stop hanging out with the people that are speaking louder than the Lord at the moment. It is important to remember that Christ's death only lasted for 3 days, and his resurrection power is eternal. It never ends. And we walk in that power, and I know life is life, and we get distracted, and we have highs, and we have lows. We have emotions. Some of us feel like we're going crazy, but we walk in that power. We just have to really believe it. A lady that used to go to our church years ago said at one of our meetings, the greatest two things that lead Christians astray is fear and unbelief. And that's, if you pinpoint any of your stuff, like for me, the trials that I've gone through in the last couple years, I was very afraid. I never lost my belief, but I was very afraid. I thought everything was crumbling. And like I said, with my dad dying like that, I felt like a half orphan. You know, and you'd never get to say your final goodbyes and that kind of thing. But God's good in that. We only see what the human mind can imagine.
It's true.
And we make things bigger than they are sometimes.
Yeah.
But in reverse, sometimes we make them smaller than they should be. So I don't like the cancel culture thing, but we cancel people out all the time or make their issues seem like nothing. You know, when the girls were in school, I took what they said important. I was like, maybe in my mind, like, okay, Crystal, you're in seventh grade. You're not dating this boy. But I didn't make her feel like that was little. I followed it up with, you pray about it, tell him to pray about it, I'll pray about it, we'll all come together and see. And she never dated him.
You
sound
like I can do that.
No, but God's bigger than that. And God has really was able to give me that compassion for my kids. And where I used to be afraid of teenagers, when my kids became them, I was like, oh, they are so neat. Because they have so much to say and so much insight, and I'm too busy being stuffy, and they've got all the inside stuff. I mean, I like the gossip, too. I'm not going to lie. I like to hear all of it. I may not be too encouraging, but I'll listen. I'll direct you. I'll be your counselor for the day. God is building something here and in heaven, and there's no way we can even fathom it. If we can have an idea, we can have Pastor Mark paint it. It will never be what it is in heaven. Hardened hearts have such a propensity to get shattered because they're solid. It's like dropping glass on the ground. Just shatters everywhere. Soft hearts aren't as easily broken. So when our hearts are softened to the Lord, we can take more. Living in the comfort of peace is so much better than living in the constraints of unforgiveness. If I had chosen to not forgive this person that wronged me, I probably wouldn't even be in this state. And that would have ruined everything for everybody. That's not what the Lord wanted. And he let me know that immediately. Which is weird. Because God's like that. And it's just huge. I could never do that. Thank goodness I'm not the Lord. Because everybody would be in hell. Because I'd be like, nope. You're smote. You're smote. Confession breaks the cycle of chaos inside of us. We know forgiveness is for us, not for the person. They could care less if you forget them. Half the time, they don't think they need it. Forgiveness breaks the cycle of chaos between us. Now I'll go into what these mean to me, if that's okay, if we have enough time. Okay. So last week, well, after some things had happened in my private life a year ago, I actually went to that person 2 days after, embraced them, told them I forgave them, and went home. Talked a couple times on texting about something insignificant. But then last week, ran into them at the Walmart and thought, well, you know, you don't have to be friends with people. God just says you have to love them. But he said, go over there and give them a hug. So I did. My kids are like, why you get away? But I did it anyway. And, you know, sometimes people can turn you off and you can be ick, and I wasn't like that. It might have helped that I was all dressed up and they weren't. Sorry, I have to be real. This is me. Sure, I want to tell you. But I do love them, and they know it. And if I hadn't forgiven them, then who am I to ask God to forgive me?
Yes.
And I wouldn't have as much compassion. So that is part of the forgiveness of 10 years ago. I would have probably ended up in jail beating somebody up. But, you know, the Lord is good. He softens your heart. If I had allowed my heart to be hardened, I'd be a broken mess all over the ground. And I am not doing that.
Amen.
Girl power.
Amen.
Or God power through the girl. Whatever. And then with my dad going, my dad got saved in our church when we were at the Nile years and years ago. And I told Tom, we went to see my mother, or my stepmom, who, by the way, passed away a month after my dad. But she was with her kids in New York or Jersey. But we went there to get her to sign some documents because I took over his stuff and whatever, because she was too sick to do it. And she handed me a little package in a box, and we get in the car, and I'm like, I don't know, honey. I just don't know if my dad went to heaven, because I don't know. And so I open up the box, and inside the box is his baptism certificate. And I was like, I forgot he got baptized. I just felt like that was God saying, what are you worried about? And on Friday, Wednesday, I was in the shower, and that Dancing with Cinderella song came on. It's like a wedding song for daddies. And I just start bawling in the shower because I'm like, thank God I danced with my dad because he didn't walk me down the aisle. It was a rough situation, and I was convinced to not let him walk me down the aisle. I was a kid. I got married at 17. So, but I did dance with him. And then when he got remarried, I was the only one of his kids that danced with him. Everybody else is just too stuffy. And so I was like, oh, I'm so glad I got to dance. And then the next song was, and I started doubting again. Oh, Lord, what if he's not in heaven when I get there? And I know when we're there, that's not going to be the first thing on our mind, but I know God's going to reunite us. And I'll know if he's not there. And the next song that came on was about walking in heaven with the angels. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to take that as another confirmation. And you'd have to hear the song, because it's super deep. I just didn't want to listen to it again because I didn't want to be a blubbering mess. So, but God gave me these verses. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He will never leave us orphaned. He's adopted us into his kingdom. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God, for that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him. And my last one for that is Psalm 27:10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. My dad never forsake me. Mom and I have had some issues, but we have an understanding. But I wouldn't say she forsake me, but there are moments I feel like that. And there were times throughout my life I felt like my dad did. And then when we reconnected, I didn't have him long enough in my mind to finish all of that. He was only in his 70s, so. But God is the father that, at the time that I needed one, that my dad wasn't able to do those things. For one, he lived in another state. For two, growing up, that wasn't what he practiced. We had rules in our home, and one of the rules were dad is not allowed to spank you, he can't scold you. It just was backwards of what should be in life. You should crawl on your dad's lap and be safe. And that wasn't a safe place. And my dad never did anything bad, like physically to me. That's just my mom's rule because of things in her life. So out of fear, she set down rules. And my dad wasn't a confrontational man. He was very tiny. He looked like Kermit the Frog to me. We used to watch The Muppets all the time, so that's why I say that. That's just a huge thing. But God, during that time, was my daddy that I needed. And my father. So if you're in a time and a phase in your life or a journey where you're not close with your dad, know that God is your dad, and I know it's different because we want to physically touch our dad, maybe we want to punch him, I don't know. We're all on a different journey with, if you even have a dad that's here. But God is there to fill that void. He's the one that created us. And those of us who have lost our dads, that's a huge loss. I never realized, and that sounds really pathetic, but I didn't realize I would miss him so much. I still have his voicemails that I listen to often. So, and my girls put it on one of those Build-A-Bears. So that's helpful. I would encourage anybody to do that if you have it for a loved one. When speaking about enemies and forgiveness, forgiveness is not an act of our determination. Forgiveness is only made possible by our cooperation. We have to do it. We have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this because I don't want to harbor this because it makes us ugly. It makes our spirits ugly. And then what comes out of us, we destroy people. Yes. Our tongue's like a double-edged sword.
Yes.
And as much as you can love somebody with it, you can kill them.
Yes.
Those who cooperate most freely with forgiveness are those who dance most freely in the beauty of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
If healing hasn't been worked out and forgiveness hasn't been walked out, chaos will continue to play out.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have. But I want to encourage you all, whatever journey you're on, wherever you're at with the Lord, with your husbands, with your parents, know that God, if you let him do the leading and put down our pride, that path is going to be smoother than it would be without him. I'll pray, and then if we have any...